Bye-bye, clutter. There is room for Jesus in our homes. There's room for Jesus in our lives. There's room for Jesus wherever we dwell. You want to know why? Because where he is, we abide. And where we are, he abides. And we dwell together. Bye-bye. Bye-bye-bye. That is worship music, folks. You want to know the difference between Christian music and worship music? Both wonderful. Both giving praise to God. But there is a difference between Christian music and worship music. Typically, your Christian music outside of hymns are about 2 to 4 minutes long, and they're for the radio and they're for hits to keep you somewhat grounded. Worship music is to rise you up, ladies and gentlemen. Worship music rises you up. It doesn't keep you grounded. You rise up and it's 11, 12, 13 minutes long. And you are just giving your love and thanksgiving to the Lord through song and movement and prayer and smiling and laughing and crying. And just, that's worship music, guys. And I love them both. I love Christian music. I love worship music. As long as it's honoring God, I'm all about it. And I'm going to tell you another thing right now. I would open my home up to Jesus and he could be a squatter in my house. Actually, as a matter of fact, let me rephrase that. Jesus is a squatter in my house, except he's welcome anytime. And I'll take it another step further. If Jesus knocked on my door today and I lived in a small studio apartment and there was 3 people already living in there, I would sleep outside and give him my bed any day of the week and twice on Sunday, because that is real worship. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to Rise Up, episode number 334 on my son's birthday. Ladies and gentlemen, today is my son Jaden's birthday. He has turned 15 years old, and I could not be more proud of him. I could not be more loving of him. I could not be more happy with that young man. So I would like to sing happy birthday to my son right now. And if you guys would be so helpful, and in the lower section, say happy birthday to him. Give him a nice message of encouragement. Let it be a God-centered message, because the boy is very special. And let's just sing happy birthday to him. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jaden. Happy birthday to you. And you couldn't have a more happy and proud father than the guy that's talking into this camera right now. You're a special, special boy. And I'm very, very honored and blessed to be able to be your dad. So thank you very much for being my son. Thank you for choosing me, Jaden, as your father. I really appreciate that. You guys are all so great. Look at all those. Awesome. Now, he's in school right now, so unfortunately, he won't see this till later. So if you guys could put a happy birthday message for him down in the lower section so I could show it to him later, that would be awesome. And do not forget, sign in to Rumble, so that you can give us a thumbs up and so you can comment on the video. Now, I got to tell you, doesn't this look like a great place to be right now? I mean, let's be honest. If all of us today on this April 11th Thursday woke up, because we just fell asleep on this here couch with this nice breeze blowing behind me. And we rise up with our Rise Up coffee and we stare out at this. and we marvel in God's creation. Look at it. Let me step back here real quick. Let me actually give you a full view of God's creation, because I don't think that we stop enough and look at the proof that God exists. That right there is all the proof I need that God exists. Somebody said, you won't find that in Iowa, Jeremy. Well, you don't find that in New Hampshire either. I guess you would find the ocean in New Hampshire, but not looking this good. The ocean here in New Hampshire is very, very cold and doesn't have this view. But that right there, that kind of a view right there, tells you everything you need to know about God's masterpiece. And as a matter of fact, I'm constantly driving around and just looking around at God's blessing and God's masterpiece. You know what I mean? Except for the mountains, it looks like you're in Florida, Jeremy. Oh, we just need the sound of the waves, right? I know, it is beautiful. Well, folks, today I titled the show, Start Walking Forward. You might ask, what do you mean by that? Well, Eli, somebody said, fix the couch cushion. You see it? Over there. Oh, man. Sass says that view is only about 25 minutes away from me. Lucky you. Start walking forward. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's ask him to bless this show. Let's ask him to bless this message. And let's ask him to bless our beloved Live from America, Rise Up audience. And today, folks, I'm going to ask that we raise some money for one of our own. I'm going to read this letter here to you, setting some pride aside, asking for some help for the Rise Up from the Slurp Fund. And we'll get to that after we ask the Lord to bless this wonderful Godcast. Please bow your heads. Lord and Heavenly Father, we are so very grateful today. And every day. The fact that we're still alive means that you're not done with us. The fact that we're still alive should put a smile on our face every day when we wake up. I woke up this morning, Lord, you know, and I stood up and I stretched and I smiled and I said, thank you, Jesus, because you're not done with me. Not that I get to experience more, but that you're not done with me. And the fact that you're not done with me lets me know that I am either saved or savable. And that is a blessing. Today we're going to be talking about walking forward and to start that walk forward, taking that first step forward and what it means, what it looks like, what it entails. And Lord, today we pray that you bless this message. We pray that the Holy Spirit is present. We pray that we are led to the gospel, not gossip, through your words, your very beautiful, wonderfully living, breathing, inspired words that are in the Bible. We thank you for talking with us. We thank you for listening to us. We thank you for dwelling with us, being with us. We thank you for allowing us to clear out the clutter to make room for you. Lord, as we dive into Isaiah, the book of Isaiah today, we thank you so very much for everything that you've given us and the chance to repent from what we've done to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Arthur said he posted something in the lower chat, everybody. Make sure you go look at it. I can't right now because doing a show, but Arthur, always, as always, thank you very much. Jeremy, when you said lucky you, there was a hint of jealousy. I was saying that condescending in my mind too. Lucky you. No, I wasn't being condescending actually. I was being actually almost, I was admiring that. Lucky you. You know, that's amazing. I wish I had that same view every day too. But you know what? I have a view of something even better. Heaven, every morning. So I'm not going to complain. You know what I mean? All right. I want to read this letter for you before we get started today. And I'm also going to read this on Live from America because I want to raise money today for a loved brother of LFA. Hello, Jeremy and Eli. This is hard for me to write this to you and the LFA family. I've never asked for help, but today I'm setting my pride aside. I've been watching your show for over 3 years. I'm not a monthly donor, but I have bought t-shirts, sweatshirts, purchased MyPillow, CB Distillery, roll-on pain relief for my almost 90-year-old dad, and I also share your lives on Facebook. I am Jay Deeds in the chat. My name is Jeff Diedrich from Mountain, Wisconsin. Here's my story. I'm 50 years old on disability with 8 back surgeries that started in 2023, which ended my great career that I had. I raised my daughter on my own since she was 1 year old. Even though through the many surgeries, I always put her well-being first. She's now 25 and has 2 beautiful kids of her own. Growing up, I was her hero, and she knew Dad could get through anything. That all changed. I went from feeling like a hero to a zero asking for help. You don't have to feel that way, I can tell you that. Today, my situation is the economy, unfortunately. I used a lot of credit cards, and now I'm buried over my head just trying to survive to buy groceries and all you need to keep your home going. Since you can only make so much on a month on disability, I can't afford my debt I racked up trying to survive. I'm filing for bankruptcy, and I can't afford the $1,400 I owe my lawyer just to get that rolling. I already got summoned from one credit card company, and I'm freaking out scared that they will take my little property, and I'm fighting so hard to keep after I had to sell my beautiful home after my back surgery. My daughter and I received Bibles from you in April 2022. I was so thankful for that, and you brought me so much closer to God. I am so thankful for you, Eli, and the LFA family. I never miss a show. Thank you for letting me take up your time reading my letter. I know there are worse off people than me, and you have so many that need reaching out to you, but I'm reaching out for just a little hope, and maybe someday in the LFA family will notice. Any help is much appreciated, and I will always find a way to pay it forward. Thank you. God bless, Jeff. Jeff, I am going to take pretty much 3/4 of what there is in the Slurp Fund right now, and I am going to send that to you, and that's $1,500. And if the LFA and Rise Up family have it or want to help replenish to get that Slurp Fund back to where it is. The reason why we have that, folks, is because I don't see any of these donations for over 30 days. And sometimes people can't wait 30 days. Sometimes people need help right away. And we try to get help to them as soon as possible, which is why we have the Slurp Fund. So if you guys want to help replenish that, obviously, it's always right here through the Rise Up or through the Rumble chat. But Jeff, I want to help as much as we can. And we usually keep about $2,000, $2,500 somewhere in there in the Slurp Fund. So I'm going to send you $1,500 and at least pay for your lawyer to help you out, okay? And as you can see, Tim and Miranda and C. Geringer and so many others are already donating to the cause. And this is what we do here. This is what God called us to do. I don't make a dollar when we raise money for people. That's not what this is. We always do this, and we've been doing this for it's 3 years now. We've been doing this. And, man, I tell you, the people that write in and tell us how much it helps, it's truly amazing. Hope Up, KC, Diane and Pat, $50, $20, $25, Joe, $5. This is for JD. CQ donation for Jeff, $20. You see, people come through for you. Christians come through for other Christians and everybody else. And I just wanted to get that rolling today. And we'll also raise money on Live from America as well. Look at Kristen and JL Jazz and Sassy. You guys, you see this, Jeff? I hope you're in here today. I hope you see it. Let's get to it. Start walking forward. I'd like you to open up your verses of the day today. Sandra, Arthur, God bless you all. Tanya, Kat, thank you all so much. I wish I could sit here and thank you guys every second of every day. But God has a message for us, and we're going to get to that now. Please open up your verses of the day today. As we go to our message, which is start walking. Just start walking, that's all. Start moving forward. Open up your Bibles to Isaiah, and we're going to go to Isaiah 43 first, okay? Isaiah 43 first, and then after that, we're going to go to Isaiah, we'll read those three versions, and then I'm going to go to a different, I think it's Isaiah 54 afterwards, because I think these two connect, and I really, 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 I know, Jennifer, look at all these great people here. It's truly great. I know. I love it. I think these two verses are really going to help you understand what we're trying to get through today, the message that I'm trying to get to today. So Isaiah 43:19, we're going to read from the ESV. Then we're going to read from the Geneva. Then we're going to read from the Complete Jewish Bible. And I'll read the verse and then I'll follow that up with why I'm talking about that today. Here we go. Isaiah 43:19. Or 18 and 19, excuse me. 18 and 19. Isaiah 43:18 and 19. You guys are all so great. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The Geneva 1599 version. Remember not the former things. Nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you... Wait, that's not the... Give me one second here. I think I just read the same thing over and over again. Let me go to the Geneva real quick. All right. Remember ye not the former things, neither regard the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing. Now shall it come forth. Shall you not know it? I will make a way in the desert and floods in the wilderness. And then the Complete Jewish Bible says this: stop dwelling on past events and brooding over times gone by. I am doing something new. It's springing up. Can't you see it? I am making a road in the desert, rivers in the wastelands. Wastelands, wilderness, making a new way. Don't think of things of old. Do you know what really sticks out to me in all of those different versions? Do you not perceive it? Can't you see it? Don't you know it? That part got me. That part gripped me and really, really pushed me forward to do this verse today. We'll go back to that in a minute. I want to get to some things that I wrote down here for you. Another way of looking at Isaiah 43:18 and 19 is to say this: you can't go back to the past, but you can begin where you are and change the ending. That's another way to say it. You can't go back to the past, but you can begin where you are. What does begin mean? new, a start of something. You can start anew where you are. You can't go back to the past. It's so, the only reason you should be ever thinking about the past is if you want to tap into a former memory. That's it, a good former memory. There is nothing in the past that you can touch, see, smell, taste, feel, talk to, love. Nothing in the past, hate. It's in the past. It's not now. So it says you can't go back to the past, but you can begin where you are and change the ending. That's free will. Your ending is not set in stone. When somebody says God's already been in your future and he already knows what's going to happen, that doesn't mean that God is in, he chooses your choices for you. He's been in all of your futures. He's been in all of your choices. Does he have plans for you? Oh, yes. But the very fact that you have free will says you can change your ending. That's an incredible. Do you know what that's like? Okay, think of God. Eli, this just popped into my head, and you'll actually appreciate this. Think of God as a video game designer. God created a video game, right? Or the video game designer created the video game. Inside the video game, there are things called NPCs, okay? And basically what those are non-player characters. They're just characters that are in the game that have an algorithm that are supposed to do a certain thing. Now, sometimes there's a glitch and those video game characters don't do what they're supposed to do, or they're not there, or whatever it is. But the video game designer did not give them a choice. So the ending is always the same. The video game is the video game, right? Imagine giving those video game characters a choice so that they're not player characters that are online playing. They're just algorithmed video game characters, almost like they had AI and they start making their own choices. All of a sudden, the video game will change, right? God gave us this ability when he created us. He created us to change the ending. He created us to have the ability to think, move, and have our own choices. So you can't change the past. You begin where you are right now and change your ending. This is a reminder. These verses today that I read to you, this is a reminder that God urges you not to waste any more time. And not to remain still. Even if you don't know which path you are taking, standing still is the worst thing you can do. Imagine being lost in the wilderness. Imagine being lost in a cornfield. What do you do when you're in a cornfield lost? Anybody grow up in the Midwest? Anybody grow up with cornfields around? Anybody get lost in them because they're so big? What do you do when you're lost in a cornfield? Does anybody want to tell me? When you're lost in a cornfield, you just start walking. And sooner or later, you'll get out of it. Because you trust in the fact that the cornfields have rows. And if you just walk, sooner or later, you'll get to the end of it. If you just walk straight and don't deviate, you stay in the middle of those rows, right? The tassels are cutting your arms. And you walk. Standing still is one of the worst things that you can do. If you're lost in the wilderness, you don't want to stand still. This is a reminder that God urges us not to waste any more time and to not remain still, even if we don't know which path that we are taking. Start walking. Start walking today. God will hold your hand wherever you go. if you are with God and God is with you, you don't have to be afraid about walking. You don't have to be afraid about stepping out of your comfort zone. You don't have to be afraid about going to a place you've never been. You don't have to be afraid about getting into a situation that you've never been in. What happened in the Old Testament when God said, don't look back, and she looked back? She turned to a pillar of salt. Move forward. Keep going forward. And the best way, the best path to take is the path less traveled, the path that is unfamiliar, the path that seems scary. If you're afraid of something, God, that's you. That's God. If you're afraid to take a step, make a decision, drop a sin, make a move. If anything about you is afraid to do something, that's Satan, because God tells you not to have fear. And as a matter of fact, the very fear that you have to not do that certain thing, or to make that move, or to make that first step, or to make that career choice, or whatever it is, or to get away from sin, if you don't make that move, that step, then there's no opportunity for you to get out of it. There's no opportunity for you to take. You know, the path that's not traveled, the unfamiliar path, is the path God wants you to take. He doesn't say you can take that. As long as you have me with you, let's go, pal. No, he says, go take that. Go do that which you're afraid of. Go do that which you are absolutely fearful that if you do something, it'll destroy your life. That's what God wants you to do. Now, I'm not talking about sinning or doing something wrong. I'm talking about things that have kept you away from doors that God has opened for you. That's only Satan. As soon as you think of, man, I've been wanting to do that for a long time, or I should have done that a long time ago, or man, I gotta get more involved in God, but I'm fearful that X, Y, Z will happen. I'm fearful that my life will happen or my life will change. That's God saying, hey, I need you to go do this for me. The only reason that you fear it is because you are rejecting it. The only reason that you fear it is because God has already put it on your heart. If God didn't put it on your heart, if it wasn't there, there'd be nothing for you to fear. The fact that you fear it is God telling you to do it. When you say, nah, it's just too much. I can't do that. I can't drop that sin. I can't make that move. I can't take this offer letter from this job. I can't reach out to my family anymore. After all these years, I can't do that. That's you rejecting God. That's you saying, thanks, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm good. Start walking. You don't need to know where you're going. You don't need to know how it's going to end up. You want to know why? Because nobody on earth knows how it's going to end up ever in any decision. So stop making some of the I don't know what's going to happen decisions bigger than the other I don't know what's going to happen decisions that you make 1,000 times a day. The only reason that you can accept the other ones, the little ones, like you don't know what's going to happen when you get in your car. You don't know what's going to happen when you go to work. You don't know what's going to happen when you make that first call. You don't know what's going to happen when the first sale comes in. You don't know what's going to happen when you pick up your kids from daycare. You don't know what's going to happen when you don't know what's going to happen ever. So why are you taking some things that you don't know what's going to happen and making them a mountain and taking other things that you don't know what's going to happen that you could die in just as easily and making them molehills? Step out on faith is exactly right, River Rat. That's the message today. Don't look back. Don't think about the what ifs. Don't think about the could be's. Just go. It's that simple, folks. But see, the world will give you this message and brainwash you into believing that comfort, familiarity, and repetition of the same thing every day is the American dream. I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? Guess what does not make me happy? Growing cobwebs, sitting still, not stepping out on faith, not pushing my spirit to the boundaries, not seeking. The minute you stop seeking and the minute you're just like, good, I'm good. I'm good. I don't need to see anything else. I don't need to experience anything else. I don't need to. I've reached the pinnacle of what I wanted to do in life. Something's wrong. I can tell you. And I don't care if you're 30, 40, 80, 90, or 100, or on the deathbed. That's the mentality God wants you to have. CQ just nailed it. Fear is sin. Fear is sin. If you're afraid to do something, if something is weighing on your heart to say, or if something is bothering you and saying, oh, don't do that. If you do that, this could happen. If you do that, that person might be upset. If you do that, this is going to end. Okay. Then that's what happens. Then that's what happens. Right? God will hold your hand wherever you go, no matter what. God will not give you more than you can handle, and he will not lead you into a trap. He'll not lead you into a hole. And every situation you face will be placed there in that unfamiliar realm to make you a better person in the eyes of God. That's it. Everything that you face that you take on faith, everything when you say, you know what, I'm not going to let that mindset. Here's another thing. It's a generational mindset. Have you ever wondered or thought to yourself, oh my gosh, I am literally doing the same thing that the generations before me did? Have you ever thought that to yourself? Or are you the person that broke the generational curse? See, in my family, my wife and I, in my family and in her family, we are the ones that broke the generational curse. Do you want to know what's weird about that? Is the devil is trying to use our kids to bring us right back full circle to that same generational curse. The generational curse of my mother and my father and my grandparents, we broke that curse, my wife and I, in so many ways. First of all, we became Christians and became followers of Christ. Second of all, we do not live the simple mindset life of what I just described, the contentment. You know what I mean? We're constantly seeking. We're constantly looking for something else. And people in our lives go, can you just chill for a minute? And we say, we wish. But our kids, they are trying to adopt the same mindset that our ancestors had, or the generations before us, I should say, my mom, my dad, my grandparents. And it's like, wow, the devil's been around so long and been waiting, and he's so patient that he's now trying to take the kids back because he knows he lost Sabrina and I. Not going to happen. You want to know why? Because we recognize it. And we're not going to let that happen. We are not going to let that happen. That's why we don't put our kids' feelings first. That's why we don't put our kids' desires and wants and what they don't want first. We put what we know is best first. They can follow. That's what kids are supposed to do. Always have faith in God's plan, folks. Always. And you say, well, I don't know what his plan is for my life. Yes, you do. HMC Grady, thank you so much. And all of you donors who I didn't get to shout out while they were coming in, thank you so much. Carrie B., you can definitely do that. That would be great. If you watch the 11 o'clock show, the address is floating down at the bottom. But I'm sure that there's somebody in here that can type in the address for you. Happy birthday to you. Who is that? MMA Gilliard, happy birthday. God bless you. Thank you very much. Bind those curses. Amen. Amen. Bind those curses today. I've got some stuff to show you here, some videos. And the first video I'm going to show you, I love this video. First of all, I'm not a really big fan. I'll just go out and say this on a limb. I'm not a really big fan of Ben Shapiro. For a lot of reasons. I don't dislike the guy or hate the guy or anything like that. I just don't care for him. I don't care for his show, and I don't care for his disdain towards Christians. I think he's a smart man. Ashley says, Amaya is watching with me. Can you say hello? Hi, Amaya. Thanks for watching today. God bless you and your mom. But I want to show this video today of what this guy, this Christian, said to Ben Shapiro on this interview, because I think it was beautiful. He said, ready for this, Ben? I'm a Christian today because of the Tanakh, the Old Testament. I'm not a Christian because of the New Testament. I'm a Christian because of the Old Testament. This, ladies and gentlemen, is powerful. Check this out.
If you put that aside, what do you think is the key distinguishing factor between the philosophy of Christianity and the philosophy of Judaism?
Well, first of all, I don't like to talk about it as a philosophy. I'd rather talk about it as a revelation, because it's divine. So the same God who wrote the Old Testament wrote the New Testament. That's my conviction. The scripture has one author. And I need to say this. I am a Christian because of the Old Testament.
Woo!
Without the Old Testament, I don't know whether I could believe the New Testament. And that may sound strange to you, but how do I know that Jesus is the Messiah if I don't have all the predictions of the Old Testament defining him when he shows up?
Wow. What do you got? I mean, I don't know what Ben said to that because that was just a short clip. But wow. Beautiful. I'm a Christian because of the Old Testament. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Doesn't it? The Old Testament is our faith, grounded, built on something. I always say this, and it's the same thing that Ray Comfort and others say. The Old Testament is God's promise to destroy death and save all of humanity. The New Testament shows us how he did it. You can't have one without the other. And that is why I read from the complete Jewish Bible. You cannot be Christian unless you're Jewish. You're Jewish first, just like Jesus was. Then you're a Christian because you read the Old Testament and then you come into the New Testament, which brings everything back full circle. There is so much of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and there is so much of the New Testament and the Old Testament. We are completed Jews. We are Christians. So when somebody says, oh, you're not Jewish? Yeah, I am. I am. I'm a complete Jew. And I learned that and then built off that and expanded on that biblically because of David Brody. David Brody taught me that because he grew up a Jew and became a Christian because he wanted to know about this Jesus character and what he did. Changed his life. If you ever hear the story of David Brody becoming a Christian, I actually interviewed him and talked about this way back in the day. And it was beautiful. Wonderful. You cannot be a Christian unless you're a Jew. But you can be a Jew and not be a Christian. I also archived this video. I wanted to save this for you too. I think you'll really get a kick out of this one. I think you'll like it a lot because I think it describes you and I.
What's one question that you'd ask a Christian?
How often do you doubt your faith?
I think it's a natural thing to doubt your faith as a Christian. You look at the disciples in the Bible, even one of them who walked with Jesus for years, doubted whether he was king, whether he was God. Sometimes my mind can get a little clouded and I forget God. I don't always doubt God, but I often forget God. And then I stop for a minute and I sit with God and I read my Bible and I worship him, even if I'm not feeling anything. And it just makes me feel so much better, and it makes me recognize that God is real even more, because I do know him. And the truth is, like, doubts that come up aren't like truth at all. I do know God. I know him for a fact. I've met with him personally. And so I just try to remember that when I spend time with him each day.
Wow. Do you ever doubt your faith? He says, I don't really know. I mean, I guess to a certain extent we do, but it's not that we doubt it, we forget it. It's not that we doubt it, but we forget it from time to time. And he goes, and when I realized that, which, by the way, the further you walk on your journey with Jesus, the shorter that time becomes from which you forget and then you remember. But when you remember, he says, he goes, what am I doing? And goes right back to the Bible. Even if he doesn't feel it, he reads it because God talks to him through the Bible. And then he starts, the Holy Spirit starts activating again. So it's not that you really doubt your faith ever. But sometimes you do forget the path that you're supposed to be on. Happens all the time. But like I always say, that time from when you forget to where you remember and get back on it has become less and less and less and less and less and less and less. I know that is that way for me anyway. I hope it's that way for you as well. That made me cry, said Caramore. Aww. Eileen says, so true. I can't go a few hours without thinking, have I checked in with you, Lord? Hey, let me tell you a little story here. I know we got only 8 minutes left, but let me tell you a quick story. Oh, and by the way, Mike Crispy's show next is actually going to be a night show that he recorded last night with Roger Stone. Mike and Frankie are doing a lot of night stuff now. They've added in some night shows and stuff like that that they're working on. So Mike was traveling today, and he recorded this night show last night with Roger, and that's going to be on Unafraid next, just so you guys know. All right. Oh, yeah, my story. What was my story going to be? Dang it. What were we just talking about? Gets less and less. Oh, I got it. Here's my story. So last night, Sabrina and I were talking, and I was recapping with her the last couple Rise Ups, especially yesterday's, right? Episode 333, where we talked about the Trinity, and it I didn't think of that until at the end of the show when somebody said, funny how this is episode 333, and we were talking about men and women and their roles in society. Well, I was recapping that to my wife, and do you know what? I said, man, I love that Rise Up so much. I said, Rise Up to me is so, it is my time with God. It is my time. I learned so much because everything happens real time. And like things are revealed to me in real time. So to me, a lot of the show that I do for you is as new to me as it is for you. And she, you know what she said to me? She goes, you're so lucky to have that time with God. And I said, you know something? You're right. And I said, I always tell the LFA family, and the Rise Up family, that Rise Up to me is far more important than Live from America. Even though Live from America is what the sponsors sponsor and what the viewers donate for, to, let's be honest, for the majority of it, and Rise Up has no sponsors and isn't bringing in any money. It's the most important show on the network, and it's by far the most important thing that I do in my life. And I said this, I didn't know before I did Rise Up every day, I didn't want to do this every day, but God said you have to do it. Now I know why he said to do it, because if God did not command me to do Rise Up and had I not obeyed to do Rise Up, I would not spend the significant time that I spend with God every day. And he knew that. He knew if I didn't have a show to do, that I would not dedicate or at least start that dedication, start walking toward him. He knew I would not give him the ample time of day that I needed to make me a real ambassador of Christ. So because I obeyed, this is my time with God. This is my majority time with God. Now, do I pray throughout the rest of the day? Yeah, 4, 5, 6 times, sometimes more, sometimes less. But this is real deep worship, intimate time with God. And if I didn't do this, God knew I wouldn't do it. So tell you what, I trusted him to walk forward and to walk in the light of God. And I'm going to read from trust right now. Psalm 19:7. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. And Romans 8:28, which is a very famous verse that we all know. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God can and does use all things in our lives for his good purpose. It is easy to trust God when things are going well. And when we choose to trust him in uncertain times, you know, the times we just talked about throughout this whole show, we receive a peace that gives us hope that sustains us. We are not disappointed because God always keeps his promise. Our response is just to trust him. That's it. And fear not the unknown. Lord, may I trust you to fulfill your purpose in my life. Amen. Well, folks, again, I was going to show you this video. I'm going to have to save this video for tomorrow. I'll save this video that I wanted to show you for tomorrow. But, ladies and gentlemen, remember, Mike Crispy, Unafraid, comes up next. It is a show that was recorded last night with Roger Stone. From what I guess, it's a night show, so it's a little bit looser. Probably going to want to check that out. Also, 2 hours of Live from America following that. And then going into Loud Majority and Matter of Fact for the 2 hours after that. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here today. I hope today's message helped you. Start walking forward today. You don't need anything but God. Stop fearing the unknown. Stop being afraid of what could happen because you don't know what could happen. And what could happen is something you might not ever, ever have expected. God bless you guys. Thank you for being here with me this morning. And I'll see you in about an hour on Live from America. Bye-bye, guys.
I feel you entering my mind. There's space for you. I can feel you entering our hearts. There's space for you. I can feel you entering my soul. There's space for you. There's space for you. There is space for you. There is space for you. There is space for you. There's space. There is space for you. Hello, clarity. Hello, wisdom. There is space for you. Hello, mercy and compassion. There is space for you. There is space for you. Hello, clarity. There is space for you. Hello, Father, Son, and Spirit. There is space for you. There is space for you. There is space for you.